Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is April 1st. Happy April Fool's Day, 2021. And this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics and we are on page 47. Reading and commenting on one paragraph that begins at the very bottom of the page, paragraph 4, with beside a seeming inability. Today's readers are Terry H. for the 12 Steps, Kathy Jo P. for the 12 Traditions, Donna W., Jana R., and Dion R. Mary B. will be introducing, welcoming newcomers and getting numbers from available sponsors, and Leslie M. will close us out with some important announcements today. And the reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting from yesterday, Wednesday, March 31st, is 16679. That's 16,679. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 16689. 86. That again is the 7 a.m. meeting from today, April 1st, 16686. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace one day at a time. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of our defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings and made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible except when to do so would harm them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. And 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affair. Thank you for allowing me to be service this month.
Thank you so much, Terry H. And I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive overeating. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting the groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, television, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then please press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 47, paragraph 4, which begins with besides a seeming inability, and I will ask Donna W. to please begin reading.
Good morning. This is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. Thank you so much, Elaine. Besides a seeming inability to accept much on faith, we often found ourselves handicapped by obstinacy, sensitiveness, and unreasoning prejudice. Many of us have been so touchy that even casual reference to spiritual things made us bristle with antagonism. This sort of thinking had to be abandoned. Though some of us resisted, we found no great difficulty in casting aside such feelings. Faced with alcoholic destruction, we soon became as open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other questions. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. It finally beat us into a state of reasonableness. Sometimes this was a tedious process. We hope no one else will be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. Well, the first thing that comes to my mind reading this is that paragraph from the spiritual experience appendix, which is contempt prior to the investigation. And then the second thing that comes to mind is that, you know, choosing a spiritual life versus an alcoholic death are not easy choices. Not quoting exactly, you know, that even though I would be willing to go to any length to get my addictive substance, when it comes to recovery, you know, am I willing to go to any lengths? And I was brought up in one religion, and I was brought up to have contempt for other religions, to be honest. And so, it did take there were times when I would be in the rooms, you know, I'd be most meetings in the before times were in churches. So that was kind of interesting. Suddenly I'm sitting in all these churches of the religion I wasn't part of. I think I'm really grateful because I feel like I'm so much more accepting and curious and willing about all religions now, because I get to go to all sorts of places of worship for meetings. When I see signs about, like, God, you know, like there might be a billboard or a bumper sticker or something, you know, scribbled somewhere. And I used to have a lot of contempt around that. And now I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm so grateful for that reminder. So, you know, I've learned that I have to have a power greater than myself. And it might be God, it might not be God, but, you know, I've also learned that, like, a little ant has more power over food than I do. So it's really just about having some surrender, some acceptance that I'm not running the show, some curiosity about doing things differently, acceptance that I don't have the answers. And, you know, for me, when I came into program, I kind of thought, like, well, I'll just kind of figure it out and go and leave. And then, it took a little while for me to really surrender to the program. I was like, wow, oh, wait a second. There are thousands, if not millions, of people in all these 12-step programs who have recovered from their maladies. And maybe, just maybe, I can just kind of lean into the program and just shut up and do what I'm told. So that is, you know, an ongoing journey, because I am very self-reliant. I was raised to be a strong, independent woman. And so that does continue to be an ongoing challenge for me, that, you know, if that I need to follow the directions. It's not up to me to figure things out and have humility. And I just want to say one more thing, which is I had a business-related event that happened this last week, which is very stressful, but it's a great practice in humility. I was very attached to this outcome. That outcome didn't happen. There was an issue, and I was pretty devastated. And it's like, okay, great. I get to practice humility. So, you know, things that I would have had contempt that have happened in my life, it's not always my first reaction, but I've heard in program to say, well, you know what, maybe this is the best thing that ever happened, or everything is perfect, or this is God's plan. So, you know, if it didn't go my way, I would have contempt and obstinacy and unreasoning prejudice. And so hopefully there's a little bit of that acceptance and curiosity.
Gentle reminder.
And experimentation happening because of my surrendering to program. Thank you, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Donna W. Great start. Okay, so we'll now open the lines to share, and although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that in order that others might have a chance to share their experience as well. So if you haven't shared since Monday, you'd be welcome to put your name out there. Who'd like to comment on this paragraph?
Leslie M.
Leslie M.
Elena C.
Elena C.
Sandy K.
Sandy K. Anybody else? Star one to unmute. Rachel P. Rachel P. We got room for a couple more if anybody else would like to share. Well, let's get started with this. Oh, I'm sorry. Who was that?
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Lovely. Okay, so we've got Leslie M., Elena C., Sandy K., Rachel P., Wendy M., and room for one more.
Bruce E.
Bruce E. Perfect lineup. Okay, Leslie M., please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Elena C.
Great. Thank you so much, Elaine, for your service. Appreciate it. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. This paragraph hits me in a lot of different ways. You know, when it talks in the beginning, it says, we found ourselves handicapped by obstinacy, sensitiveness, and unreasoning prejudice, and I was all of those. I was especially sensitive. If you looked at me the wrong way, you know, I cried or I grabbed some more food, you know. I didn't want to feel those feelings. I thought that I knew what you were thinking, and of course it wasn't good. That had been my experience in my life. So I was touchy pretty much about everything, you know, and that's a real problem. It talks here in the book often about, you know, getting in my own way and creating these problems. And, you know, when I look back at my life, you know, I know that that is the case today. I have created these problems, that a lot of the arguments that I've had have been all in my mind, and I was on both sides, you know. So, you know, it's pretty, the obsession has taken me to some pretty crazy places. But the other thing that really spoke to me was, you know, it says, it finally beat us into a state of reasonableness. Sometimes this was a tedious process. We hope no one else would be prejudiced as long as some of us were. And I remember, you know, I call up newcomers, and I was speaking to somebody and kind of giving her a little overview of my recovery. And I said, yeah, you know, I was around in OA for 28 years before I finally, you know, got recovered. And she goes, oh, my God, I hope it doesn't take me that long. And I'm thinking, and I said, I hope it doesn't take you that long either, you know. But that's how long and more. I mean, that was just in OA. I was prejudiced before I came to OA. You know, I thought that if something was going to get done, it had to be done by me. And I continued to think that in program, thinking that there was something else I was supposed to be doing. So when I finally surrendered and just said, okay, God, you know, the food has convinced me, it's going to be in charge of the rest of my life if I don't do something different. And when I finally surrendered, that was when it actually happened. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie M. Elena C., you're up next, followed by Sandy K.
Good morning, everyone. And good morning, and thank you for your service and for the comments and everybody who read and provided service. This paragraph speaks to me because I was very obstinate, sensitive, and unreason. I had a lot of prejudice against religion. I grew up in a very conservative religion, and religion was shoved down my throat, and I needed to believe in what they believe, and that was the only way, you know, I grew up to learn that was the only religion that was good, and the other ones were bad. And when I came to the program, I thought that somebody again is going to shove this something down my throat, maybe something else. But, and so that was my stubbornness about my hesitation about this program. And, you know, I remember I was like repulsed by the word insanity. I'm like, great. So now I came here, so then you guys tell me that I'm crazy, and only if I believe in what you believe, I'm now gonna be crazy. And so that was my attitude. And you know, I had a lot of relief hearing that I can determine and I can describe and I can have the experience that I want, that I need. And I can define with a power greater than myself. And, you know, first my higher power was my group, the group where I found peace. And it kind of evolved as the time passed and I started working on the steps. But, you know, I can see how, like, a lot of people can be repelled by understanding, I mean, hearing that this is a religious or this is a spiritual program. The spirituality is often equals for some religion, which is what it equaled for me. And that was not true at all. And the devastation and the desperation that I felt was higher than my unwillingness to search what my higher power was. And that was what kept me in the program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elena C. Sandy K., you're up next, followed by Rachel P.
This is Sandy K., recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. And I do want to thank everyone online for being here and to those people who are doing service. I'm really happy to be at the meeting this morning. I love this chapter because when I first came into program, I had no religious background. I came from a secular Jewish family where my father was atheist, my mother agnostic. They never used those words, but that's basically what they were. And so I had no higher power that I had to change. I needed to find one. And when somebody said, when I looked at step three, it said you have to have a power greater than yourself. I'm going, oh no, what am I going to do? So the first power I had was the energy of the group, because I know alone that I was not losing the weight. I knew it couldn't have just been me. I had tried for years and couldn't lose it. So it had to be something greater than myself, and it turned out to be the energy of the group. And in the 37, almost 37 years I'm in program, my higher power has changed a number of times. But for me, why I love the chapter is because I came in with absolutely no concept of a higher power. And today, my spirituality is the most important thing I have in my life. And that's because I was open. And because I was willing, not at first I wasn't open, but eventually I became open and willing to try different things and to see what fit. And it works. It works. It has helped me stay abstinent. Not all 37 years, but it has helped me stay abstinent many, many years at a time. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Sandy K. Rachel P., you're up next, followed by Wendy M.
Good morning. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. The food beat me into a state of reasonableness. It was my great persuader. I was that person who came in to OA and could not accept anything on faith. I bristled at the word God. And in fact, the first OA meeting I ever came to almost 10 years ago, I heard them say the word God, and I went back out for 6 years and had my step one experience because I was so closed-minded. I was handicapped by obstinacy, sensitiveness, and unreasoning prejudice. And obstinacy is stubbornness, and that exactly is the word for me. With my what my concept or lack thereof of higher power was, I grew up in a Christian household, or a religious household, we'll say, and we went to church every Sunday, and it was a huge part of our lives. And then when my mom passed away when I was 14, I was in the middle of a confirmation process with my church, and my thought was, if God could do this to my mom, then I don't want anything to do with God. And so I became an atheist for years, and it was just complete prejudice and this handicapped state that this book describes. It's just so uncanny how it described me. Anyone who asked, what do you believe? I would stubbornly tell them there is no God. And when we die, we die. And was just so convinced to that fact. I thought I knew everything. I was in self-will, and all the while I was in my disease. And it's because we know it's a progressive disease, it was getting worse and worse. And finally, I was at the state not quite 3 years ago where every waking moment was about food, binging, restricting, obsession with exercise, etc. And I needed a solution. I needed something greater than myself. And I was able, by the grace of what I now call my higher power, what I do call God, it took me a while to get there, but I was able to understand, maybe I don't have all the answers, and I'm just willing to accept that other people have a solution and that there is hope for me in this program. And, for the first several months, I would not use the word God, but I used the word trust. I just had to trust that there was a power greater than myself. And it worked. And for someone who's an atheist for more than a decade, for it to work is truly a miracle. And this paragraph in this book speaks to me and my experience. And I'm so grateful that I have these words to describe the experience that I've had and am having. And it's such a miracle that we can open our minds because it beats us down so much. Thank you. So thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rachel P. Wendy M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Bruce E.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Thanks for your service. Oh, my, there's so much to say. Just the word sensitiveness. It's like, yeah, that would be my entire fourth step, right? Like, everyone's looking at me. They're looking at me wrong. I mean, really, if someone looks at me wrong, even a child, even a dog, you know, they're looking at me wrong. This is not good. You know, I've got, you know, and I'm sensitive because the world's, you know, harming me, of course. And then just prejudice. Like, for me, it's not just in this chapter especially, it's not just prejudice with regard to my religious beliefs and whatnot. Everything. I was prejudiced against everything that wasn't me. That was how I, you know, ran my life. And that's what I found out in my fourth step. And this idea that we set aside everything we think we know. What a brilliant prayer that is. So helpful. But the thing that really speaks to me is, in this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. I love that. Because it's like, when I talk to sponsees or whoever, it's like, you know what? It actually doesn't even matter if you believe in, like, a God. Your life is miserable. Like, it reminds me, the next couple of pages, of bedevilments. Like, the bedevilments are the great persuader. Like, is this, you know, do I want this life? You know, because I came in on a losing streak, you know, and is this the life that I want? And the fact that, you know, thank God my life is deeply unmanageable, that's enough. That would be enough. Like, I don't even know, like, the stop sign could be my higher power. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, when I talk to sponsees who are miserable, they come in crawling, you know, they're like, I don't care. Just give me anything, anyone. It doesn't matter. Faced with alcoholic destruction, faced with overeating destruction, faced with, you know, all of it, you know, whatever the bedevilments say, which are brilliant. You know, I can't control my emotional nature. I'm having trouble with everything. I'm not a real help to anyone. Like, this is misery, right? So the misery is what's going to cause me to go, you know what? I'm just going to be open-minded on this thing. I do not have to be in the debating society anymore. I really don't have to understand what God is. And I just want to say one last thing about God. I am having this really incredible relationship with God. I've been in the program 20 years, you know. First 16 years I was dieting with group support. And, you know, only in the last 6 months have I really cultivated this thing. This two-way prayer business is unbelievable. Where you sit down and God help me and God writes you and you're not alone. And, oh, my God, you have the nearness of your creator. And then also just a new meditation where you can tap that inner resource. Like, we are God. Like, God is in us. And we get to tap that. And the ease and comfort that I was seeking with food or with men or whatever.
Gentle reminder.
Yeah, that ease and comfort. That's what we experience now, because it's an experiential relationship with God, and it's really working. Thanks for letting me share it.
Thank you, Wendy M. Bruce C. is up next, and after Bruce shares, we'll be taking another lineup on page 47, paragraph 4, which begins with, besides a seeming inability. Please go ahead, Bruce C.
Thank you. I'm Bruce C. I'm in Florida, around Fort Myers area, Florida. I'm recovered. And, yeah, I didn't come in here on a winning streak either. I love that. Man, I wasn't on the winning streak. It's on a losing streak when I came in. And talk about this sensitivity-ness. Overly sensitive. Man, I mean, something, just the most minor thing will happen and it just bristles me, you know. And yeah, I got to get over this stuff, a lot of this stuff, you know, this prejudice thing. most prejudiced person. Ah, somebody asked me, are you prejudiced? No, not prejudiced. Hey, yeah, oh, yes, I'm very prejudiced. Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Come in here and start having to say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, instead of yes, but. So I like this here. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. Beat us into a state of reasonableness. So this is what got me in here, right? Was the food. I mean, craziness with the food, not being able to control it. And it was a great persuader. And I've tried to persuade people with my words or debate them or tell them, you know, that this is what they need when they're in the food. And I don't really have to do that so much because the food itself will beat them into the reasonableness like it did me. The food, the pain of the food will bring people around as it brought me around. It's just so painful. And I had to run out of good ideas, too. I had to run out all my ideas. This 25 years going to meetings, thinking I had it, saying I had it, talking about, yeah, I got this one, I got it. A week or two later, I didn't have it. So, and finally, I was acting like an agnostic, very religious person, acting like an agnostic in a religious or in a spiritual program. And I had to quit being an agnostic and start really surrendering. You know, it came down to just a surrender process. I had to give up and let go and let God. Things are much better now, that's for sure. I don't have this food demon crawling all over me all the time, every day, day after day.
Reminder.
Thank you. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Bruce E. Appreciate your share and everybody's share. And though we value your experience, strength, and hope, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may have an opportunity to share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday, please press star one to unmute and let me know if you'd like to share.
Reggie.
Liz. Jan. Evan. Reggie. Liz.
Noel E.
Noel.
Deb E.
Liz.
Danielle O.
R.
Danielle O.
And Liz. And I'm not sure if I'll have time for all of you, but I've got Danielle O too. Danielle O too. So I did not get many initials of last names. So I've got Evan, Reggie, Liz, Noel, Dev, Liz. Oh, Liz twice. So there is time for Daniello. And I think there will be time if we all keep to our 3 minutes and maybe shave off a second or two. So Evan, you are up first. If you'll share your last first initial of your last name, and you'll be followed by Reggie. Please go ahead, Evan.
This is Evan Yu from California. Thank you, Team Thursday. Lovely to be here with you all. This really jumped out at me today, the obstinacy, sensitiveness, and unreasoning prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had my own form. You know, when I came into program, you know, I didn't have too much resistance to God. I had my way of thinking about God. And, you know, I was going to meditate myself to a thin body. It was kind of my thing. So I had to learn how God wanted me to understand God. You know? And now all these years later, you know, I have a wonderful relationship with my higher power. And as I delve into my fifth and sixth step, I get to see that that wonderful relationship I have with my higher power is can be in the way of seeing the parts of me that have this obstinacy, sensitiveness, and unreasoning prejudice. So each of these character defects, character defenses I have, are parts of me that are sort of unreclaimed that haven't been given over to God. There are all these individual little surrenders that I need to make, places where I'm holding on and I'm using this know-it-allism or this rageful reaction as a way to protect myself, because I feel like I need protection, because I feel that this part of me, this little wounded aspect of me, however you want to say it, doesn't feel safe in this universe, doesn't feel protected, so it's going to protect itself. And as I open those up and get in there, I see that each one of these has that obstinacy and has that prejudice and doesn't trust God. And so I practice these principles on all my affairs today. You know, I get to see that I get to bring each one of these parts of me that doesn't believe. So as a whole, I definitely trust and accept God, and I have to use that trust to rappel down, to dig down deeper, to see the part, to reclaim these parts that still don't trust, that aren't willing to give over to a power greater than myself, where I did with food and these outer things. It's these inner things where there's this clenching and this holding on, this obstinance that is much tougher to deal with, where it puts the whole body of the system in a clench. So I'm very grateful for these 12 steps just to continue to sort of, you know, open my eyes, the eyes of the soul, to see these things that I tried to fix myself but couldn't, because I'm not powerful enough, I'm not subtle enough, and I'm not seeing things the way God sees them. And that's the perspective I need to actually heal and change and let go of this self and ego. So appreciate the opportunity to share with you all, and let's talk again soon. I pass.
Thanks so much, Evan. Reggio, you are up next, followed by Liz. Please go ahead, Reggie.
Thank you. Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. This is Reggio, currently sitting in Scottsdale, Arizona, no longer a California resident after 12 years. And this is really potent, this paragraph for me. I mean, I was all of those things, certainly, and I still have degrees of, you know, all of those things. But I want to remind myself, and thank you for what Bruce said earlier, you know, it's like, I don't have to convince anybody of anything, you know. In some respects, I guess that's me playing God, you know, but as a compulsive overeater, the food's going to convince anyone, you know. If I'm talking to someone, a newcomer or anyone who's having trouble, I don't have to convince them. The food does it, you know. And it reminds me that higher power, you know, the higher power that some call God, that some call many, many, many things, you know, exists, but is, you know, underneath it all. And so there's very little that I have to do, you know, when it gets right down to it. I think, you know, I've worn myself out in life, not knowing, you know, but actually attempting to play God, you know, to play God, to know what was right, to be perfect, to do this, to do that. And it is a very wearing way. It's a very wearing way to live, you know, and it's created one of my greatest character defects, which is perfectionism. And I'm sitting here in this outdoor open patio, looking at the blue sky, looking at all kinds of birds walking across the fence and all kinds of trees. And I think, you know, it's like, this is God, you know. I mean, I'm sitting here as God. This sky, these trees, this, you know, everything, you know, that was designed, this amazing planet, that's God, you know. That's the higher power. That's the one power that, you know, brings everything here. And I'm sitting here with all of you, and I'm a part of that, you know. But I'm that, and I'm a part of that. So I just feel really grateful, you know. It's like, and knowing that this higher power has led me to OA many years ago. Reggie led me away from it, in and out, you know, many times over the years. And it's always, you know, this is always here, this amazing wisdom and way of life to follow that removes the blocks to me and the source of all of this beauty and grandness that I see and possibility. And I'm currently on my way to Texas, where I'll be living for 6 months. And you know, I didn't do any of this. When I knew I needed to move where I was moving from, it all just, in some respects, fell into play. I was shown one step after another. And so far it has worked out. And so I'm just deeply grateful to be here and to hear everybody sharing. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Reggio. Liz, you're up next, followed by Noelle. And please share your first initial of your last name with us.
Sure. It's Liz S. And I'm assuming we're the first paragraph on 48.
That's the fourth paragraph on page 47, which is, yeah, it continues on the top of 48. Yes,
I thought so, because something just struck me that hadn't struck me before. When I came in the fall, 6 years of, let's just say, religious school had done a great deal of damage. The only positive part was it was not reinforced at home. But there's something about being told that if you're good, you go to heaven, and you're bad, you go to hell. And I left there, and I just sort of dropped the idea of God. I just dropped it. And that's why I spent my whole life without any real concept, except I still carried that notion that I better darn well be good, or I knew where I was headed. And it was in college that I read the most remarkable, absolutely remarkable poem, obviously a poem that was about 40 pages long, where the writer spoke about God as being good. And that helped me to start changing my concept of God or higher power. And I'm reading this here, and the line, faced with alcohol destruction, we soon became open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other questions. And I think that was really the crux of it for me when I came into OA. You know, the open mind was something I just had to have. And step two for me is simply, they're just asking us to just have an open mind. They're not asking me to believe in anything. It's just a question of can you just have an open mind to believing? That's it. And it doesn't have to be God. It can be any, but it can't be me, because I can't fix me. And that's all that step two is about. But I have to be able to do something, because I am faced with destruction. So I have to be rid of those things in me that is destroying me. And that's going to require a lot of an open mind and willingness to do things that are going to help me. And so something outside of me is going to have to help me do that. And developing that relationship has really changed my life. And for that, I am very, very grateful. And it's been life-changing. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Liz S. So, Noelle, you're up next, followed by Dev E. And we're running close to out of time. If you want to shave off a minute or so from each of your shares, there'll be time for Danelle O. So, Noelle, will you please give us the first initial of your last name?
Noelle E. from Louisiana.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, everyone. I'm grateful to be here. Grateful for everybody's service. I'm overwhelmed by how powerful everybody's shares are. And the thing that's coming to me right now in this paragraph was the obstinacy and the sensitiveness. I mean, I was, you know, I just was either, you know, I was just so black and white. I was either, you know, running, I'm either off social media or I'm always on social media. I'm running a half marathon or I'm not running at all. You know, like it was just, I use words never and always. I mean, with everything I said, the number one thing my therapist would be like, well, you can't use words like never and always all the time. And those were all like, that was all life, just reading books and self-help books and going to conferences and just all this self-will and checking, you know, checking boxes, you know, as I grew into motherhood and my marriage that I thought were expected of me. And it was leading to a road of destruction. And my 12 years of Christian education and 3 hours of Protestant church every Sunday, it's been a lot to unlearn. And I'm still doing it every day. And the good news is, this is God's absolute plan. He didn't mean for it to be any other time than it is right now. And I am just like, you know, the Spirit of God is falling fresh on me, because he knows that this is when I need this presence. And I can look back and see that it was there all along, but I'm awake to it now, and I just have every opportunity to share it in all the different ways God's showing me. And that is, like, you know, is leaving me speechless in this moment. So I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Noelle E. Deb E., you are up next, and I'm not sure if we'll have time for you, Danelle, but let's see how it goes. Please go ahead, Deb E.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel, and I'll try to be really quick. I just wanted, this paragraph is making me feel really grateful for how far I've come with developing a faith in my higher power. You know, the biggest mistakes I've made in my life were when I had no connection to a higher power, when I had no faith. And my life today is so different. I ask my higher power for everything, for guidance in everything. I start my day that way. I ask it throughout the day. And I'm now, like, I think about 7 months into this crazy international move where I've uprooted my family, left California, came to Israel. And it's hard, you know, but this faith is keeping me going, because in the beginning, I used to go crazy, like asking people, well, how do you know what's God's will? What's my will? What's God's will? Like, how do you figure that out? And my best way to describe it has become for me is that really it's about when my head is going crazy, shouting at me, like, no, you shouldn't do that. But my heart just feels it, and I feel it in my body, and I can't really explain it more than that. It's usually the right move, and it's usually something that sounds crazy. It doesn't necessarily sound rational. And it's just having that faith gets me through so much, and I'm just really grateful for it today. Thank you, and I pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Deb E., and thanks for making room for Danelle O. to share. Danelle, please go ahead. You have time for a 2-minute share.
Okay, good morning, everyone. My name is Danelle O. from Northern New York, where it is snowing like the Dickens. But that's okay. This is my world. Just very grateful, and I wanted to just jump in and just share that, you know, at first, when I first came into OA in 2008, I did it out of fear, because I was struggling with diabetes, and there were just so many things that were saying, your life's going to end very roughly if you don't do something. And when I came into OA, I was pretty desperate, and over the years, I thought fear would always keep me here, but it didn't. And as a matter of fact, when I relapsed a couple years ago, I ended up back into the food, and I thought, well, I'm okay. Well, what happened was, and the biggest reason why I came back was because I knew that I was choosing food over God, and that was just not okay anymore. And I felt that every time that I was indulging, I just didn't like who I was becoming, and it hurt daily, where I thought, why am I doing this? Well, I knew why I was doing it, you know, because I was obsessed and I was compulsive, and that's what I do. But at the same time, I also knew there was a solution. And in the rooms of OA and Vision for You, it's really been very clear just how much my God absolutely loves me and how much I love Him, and how that, when that grows, all else is pretty darn good. Just needed to be really grateful for today that I have my health. I have good people around me. I have a God of my understanding who just pours into me daily. And I'm just real grateful. I just wanted to share that. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you very much, Danelle. Nice way to top everything off here. We're now going to and thanks everybody that has shared. Just a beautiful meeting. We're now going to transition the meeting by having Jana R. read from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So please go ahead, Jana R.
Good morning. This is Jana R., recovered compulsive overeater in Ohio. Really grateful. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.